Welcome to Fatal Flaw. I'm Molly.
And I'm Maddie.
A couple of disclaimers before we start. There will be spoilers for Percy Jackson and the Olympians and Heroes of Olympus. There will be adult language and adult topics, so proceed with caution. Mom, please don't listen to this. What we're talking about today is jealousy. Each episode, we're going to be taking one topic or a character or a setting, and we're going to be looking at it from, like, Lightning Thief all the way through Blood of Olympus.
I know you don't like that book, but...
We're going to be looking at it from The Lightning Thief all the way through Blood of Olympus. Do you want to just dive right in? You want to start with our first person who gets super jealous all the time?
Yeah, I think that's the best thing we can do. And who best to start with than the main character?
I think we all know who gets jealous as fuck all the time. So Percy Jackson is the main character. And I think just because he is the main character, he has so many relationships with people that get really fleshed out. So he's the one that we have the most to say about on this topic of jealousy.
I think I would just like to start off with the fact that I am very jealous of Percy. He is this gorgeous man with a beautiful girlfriend. I mean, I don't know.
In that situation, I'm jealous of Annabeth. Because she gets to be with him.
I guess that makes more sense.
I would also like to point out
that I'm the straight one.
I'm gay and I'm like, I want to fuck Percy Jackson. I'm a full-ass lesbian, not attracted to men, but Percy Jackson is the one exception.
Are you sure? Are you sure he's not just has dark hair and sad eyes?
Oh my god. I have a type. Also, I'd like to point out that my girlfriend is currently in this room with us, giving me quite a look. Because I just said I want to fuck Percy Jackson. He's not.
I mean, who doesn't? Honestly, who doesn't? Really?
I think there are some people who don't want to fuck Percy Jackson, and we're about to talk about them. Number one, Tyson.
Wait, what is this list? Is this list of people who don't?
This is the list of people who we want to talk about in their relationship with Percy in terms of jealousy. Number one happens to be someone who doesn't want to fuck Percy Jackson.
I agree. I don't think Tyson does.
The Greeks were a little fucked up, but I don't think that it was that bad.
Yeah, Tyson's wholesome, too. I don't think
valid
any of those thoughts ever went through his head.
We're off to a good start today.
This is a train wreck.
This is our second and final episode of Fatal Flaw. Thank you all so much for listening. Music by David Thal.
I'm dying. This is so bad.
The first person I want to talk about jealousy with regarding Percy is Tyson. There's a lot of complicated feelings with Tyson right off the bat, and I feel like a lot of them come from jealousy. Percy is the only son of Poseidon. Percy has not gotten much attention from his father. He met him once. He doesn't get much from him, and then Tyson comes along, and not only is he another son of Poseidon, but he's also strong and fireproof, and he gets these gifts from Poseidon. Even towards the end of the series, he gets to go and live in the forges, and he becomes like a general. He gets a lot of these powers and special treatment from Poseidon. And I think Percy is really jealous of that.
I think a lot of it also stems from the fact that Percy knew Tyson for a long time as like this wimpy, really weird kid. Nobody liked him. Percy was always standing up for him. So he kind of had this like superiority complex over him a little bit. Like, I know we don't want to say that Percy thought he was better than Tyson, but like, come on. I mean, Tyson was this homeless kid that always got picked on at a school. He's real goofy looking. Everyone at school pitied him. And then going from that like dynamic between them to, oh, like he actually is my half brother is like such a weird shift, I think, for Percy, because Percy's like, what, 13 at this point, 12, 13. I don't know. I don't know their ages. They're
I
all
think he's
23
13.
in my head. They're my age. And so I think he was just like so surprised about it. Like this goofy kid that is homeless and is getting like a weird pity project at our school, which is also messed up. We will talk about that in another episode.
Oh my God, yeah.
And now he's my brother, and now I have to share a cabin with him and be around him all the time, and he kind of smells bad. Why am I dealing with this? And I do think he goes through a really big journey through Sea of Monsters, and I think that's really awesome. But it took Tyson like having to almost possibly be dead for him to be like, oh, I guess I kind of like him. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think it also took Annabeth hating him to be
Yeah.
like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. No. It's like even before Percy knew they were brothers, it's like me with my siblings. Like I can talk shit, I can make fun of them. But the second anyone else says anything, I'm fighting. Crossed a line, no way. And so I think they even had sort of that dynamic before he found out that they were siblings.
I agree.
I also, when you say that, it reminds me of that scene where Percy is talking, and it's so funny in Sea of Monsters. Percy is like, okay, you know the Greek gods? They're real. And Tyson's like, yes. And Percy's like, no, this is shocking news. And he's like, I've been attacked by monsters before. Like, I know who I am. Yes, of course. And I think that's another moment that Percy gets a superiority complex. Because he's like, well, if nothing else, I at least know that this secret world of Greek gods exists, and I know that I'm son of Poseidon. So even at a normal school where he feels bullied and left out, he can still feel superior. And then Tyson just like totally knocks him down with that. Tyson totally is just like, yeah, and I knew that already.
I think Tyson and Percy have this like really funny dynamic because Tyson, like I said, is like super wholesome, super nice, like not a mean bone in his body, like just the nicest person. And Percy like tries to consider himself like a good person. And then Tyson is just like immaculately good. And I think it's just like that person where you're like, God, like I just, there's no reason for me to hate them, but I hate them. Like they
Yeah.
literally don't give you any reason. And you're like, I hate them because I can't hate them. And so it's like, it's that like weird thing where, I mean, we've all gone through it. I feel like there's just that one person that's so nice and so wholesome and they don't mean any harm to you, but you just, something about them. Ugh. You think you're so much better than me. No, I really don't. Like, I think we're all great people. Oh, you.
So I think Percy's jealousy of Tyson is so telling because he is so young and so immature, and he just wants love from his dad. That is a running
Not
theme.
everything is daddy issues. Not
This
everything is daddy
is, he really does. He acts like he's like all buddy buddy with Tyson later, but he still has these feelings of jealousy when his dad invites Tyson to come live in the forges and work with him in the war underwater. I think that might even be canon. Like, I think he even says, like, I felt a little jealousy because he really does want to feel like a part of his dad's life. He does want to feel accepted by his dad and loved and needed, but he's not even fighting the same war as his dad. At the end, he has to convince Poseidon to come and fight the Titan War in Manhattan and not fight the war in his palace. So they're not even fighting the same war. And Tyson gets to be with his dad and is invited to be with his dad. And Percy is not wanted there.
I think this also stems a lot from his like envy of having to be the child of the prophecy. Like he tried so hard so many times to just like get out of that and he can't. And so I guess he's like, my last chance to get out of this would be to go live with my dad and be with the fish and not deal with it. And Tyson gets to do that. He doesn't have to be the kid of the prophecy. Percy has to be. And so obviously, Poseidon favors the son that he's not going to go send to die. You know, Percy's
Yeah.
probably going to die by the time he's 16. Tyson, however, is not. So might as well buddy buddy with Tyson.
Well, that also brings up there are other children of Poseidon that we meet, and there's always conflict there. At one point, he's in his dad's palace and meets the other children.
He meets his one son. I don't remember his name. But he like
The
meets
mermaid.
his wife and his son, and he's like,
Oh,
so
yeah. This is awkward. I forgot that he had a whole other family.
Because then doesn't Poseidon be like, oh, how's Sally doing?
He's such a fuckboy. He's like, hey, how's my side piece doing? Like, what? You asked that in front of your wife? Oh, my I know. God. He's almost as bad as Zeus.
Yeah, they're all just terrible people. God.
Which makes you think, and like Percy knows that too. Like he knows that he is the child of an affair and he still wants the approval and love from his dad. This kid has such daddy issues.
Yeah, and he even like feels guilty when Poseidon like shows up at his birthday party and he's with Paul and he's like, oh my gosh, my dad's here. What is my dad gonna think about me, buddy, buddy, with my other dad? Like this is...
He has so many issues and he takes it out on Tyson sometimes.
I know. Oh,
that poor kid.
And it doesn't even phase Tyson ever.
He's just excited to have family.
He's literally just the nicest, most wholesome being in the entire world. Ugh.
So I just think his jealousy and conflict with Tyson is so tied up in his daddy issues. He's so desperate for his love and approval. Like when he sends the Medusa head to Olympus. Fucking smartass. He's such a little shit. But when he does that, he's trying to make it like, screw you, I don't like you, gods. But Grover points out later that, like, you just want your dad to be proud of you because you got the head of Medusa.
Oh, yes. Look, I killed your ex-girlfriend, Dad.
Another one of your ex-girlfriends. Put that in your mom.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Poseidon.
So yeah, he takes out a lot of that insecurity on Tyson, and that sucks. And I think that also brings us to our next person that I want to talk about jealousy with, which is Talia. I think it stems from such insecurity. There's so much conflict, especially in the Titan's Curse, which is really the first place that we see Talia and Percy interacting. There's so much conflict there, and Percy doesn't even talk about it. He just kind of does his own thing and then later gets in trouble for it. Like he goes off without getting help to fight the Manticore and later he faces consequences for it. So we don't even get that one-on-one conflict in the text of him being jealous of Talia outright. So we just kind of have to infer that he's just being a shitty 14-year-old boy while Hey There Delilah plays over the middle school dance speakers. But he has so much jealousy of Talia, and I think it comes from a place of insecurity because she is also very powerful. She's older. She's hot.
Annabeth likes her more than she likes him. I think most of his jealousy from Talia actually stems from her relationship with Annabeth because they have this... Oh. History that he will never have. And it also ties back to Luke because Percy is like so jealous that the three of them went on adventures without him, even though he literally just has no involvement in that. And everyone's trying to move on from it, but Percy can't. He's upset. He doesn't know Talia from before Camp Half-Blood, like before she was a tree. So he doesn't have that history with her. He's like, oh, she's like tree girl. And Annabeth is like, oh my gosh, she's like a big sister to me. And Percy's like, I want to be a big sister to you. And I mean, that's pretty much, that's pretty much his thought process.
Okay.
Weirdness aside, like Annabeth is like, oh, Luke's like such a mentor to me. And Percy's like, well, I could be a mentor to you. And Annabeth, like, he just wants to have this like special relationship with Annabeth that he sees that Luke and Talia have. Even though Luke's evil, he still has this like hold on both Talia and Annabeth that Percy will literally never have and will literally never understand. Personally, I think that's where most of his jealousy of Talia comes from. It kind of manifests into this like, oh, well, our dads hate each other, so I might as well hate you too. And they take out their anger on each other because they're children and they're angsty.
Well, it's also just like a dick measuring contest. They want to prove that they're the more powerful one. They're used to being easily the most powerful people in any room of demigods.
Talia, you didn't even have a chance to be the most powerful demigod in the room. You were a tree for most of this adventure. You were foliage.
Foliage. Oh my God. But yeah, I think that's such a good point that he is jealous not only of her power, but of her relationship with Annabeth. That is so true. Again, kind of goes back to the daddy issues. He has some troubled past with family. You know, he grew up with Gabe. His mom was the only family he had. Grover was his first friend, and that was when he was 12. So he has been very lonely for a very long time. He's so used to Annabeth being his best friend and him being hers that very quickly they become a found family, which is my favorite trope. But they become like their chosen family. And then Talia comes in and Percy feels that insecurity of, what if I'm going to lose her? What if I lose not just the girl I have a crush on, because she's way more than that. What if I lose my family because somebody else comes along who's more deserving of it?
Oh, we love. We just want to take Percy and like wrap him up in a little blanket and put him in our pocket and protect him forever because he's so cute. He's so precious.
He needs therapy so badly.
Men will literally go on a quest to avoid therapy.
Well, I also wanted to say that I think one of the reasons Percy is jealous of Talia at a certain point in the story is that she got out of the prophecy. It could have been her. It really easily could have been her. And then she goes and joins the hunters. It's not an option that he has. So she gets to go off and live her own life, make those decisions for herself. And she has a level of free will that he does not. Every child of the big three that we meet, it becomes more and more obvious that Percy is the child of the prophecy and he has no choice. Every step of the way, he loses a little bit of free will. The gods and prophecies take over his life a little bit more and then a little bit more and a little bit more. And by the end, he feels like he has no choice. Which, by the way, I think is one of the reasons that he goes and hangs out with Rachel so much, because that's an area of his life that he has power over. Like with Talia joining the hunters, that option is not on the table for him. And he is running away from his responsibilities, like when he gets stuck at Ogygia. I just think that that's so complicated that Talia not being the child of the prophecy means that Percy is. And the jealousy that comes from him with that is just so intense. And then the other person that I wanted to talk about jealousy with Percy, is Annabeth. I think when we think about jealousy and Percy and Annabeth, we usually think about Rachel and Calypso and Reyna, like all the other people who have had crushes on him. But I think it goes way deeper than that. I think that she found a place at Camp Half-Blood early on in life, and he didn't. She was there a lot longer than him. If we played a Percy Jackson drinking game, we would endanger ourselves if we took a drink every time Annabeth and Chiron shared a look that they left Percy out of, or shared a piece of knowledge that Percy was not privy to. There's so much shit that Annabeth knows because she was at Camp Half-Blood and has this special relationship with Chiron way before Percy.
Are we sure that she does actually have this special relationship with Chiron? Or are we thinking maybe, since the books are from Percy's perspective, that he thinks she has a special relationship with Chiron and that she knows so much more than him and so much more than she is telling him, but actually she doesn't know that much. She like knows the prophecy and that's pretty much it.
Ooh. I'll have to do a deep dive sometime.
Because that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah. Percy, okay, he's a 12 to 16 year old boy. It's all from his perspective. We have no other perspectives in the very first set of the books. He sees Annabeth. She's really pretty and she's really smart. Obviously, Chiron has been telling her stuff that he won't tell Percy, because why else would a pretty smart girl be hanging out with Percy?
Oh, personally, again, it comes back to insecurity.
Exactly.
It comes back to insecurity. He feels like, why else would she be friends with me unless she knew something that I didn't? Ooh, Maddie.
Spicy.
Well, that's interesting. Because there's also, well, isn't there a line at some point where she says, like, Chiron, you always tell me everything. You never kept secrets from me. And she gets really mad at him.
I don't recall, but probably.
Probably at some point. Oh, is it when they find out about the Romans? Oh, because he doesn't tell her about the Romans and he knows. Also, shitty move on his part. He knows where Percy could be. He knows that there's a Roman camp. He knows that there's a Roman camp. He probably knows where it is. He's probably been there. He probably has beef with Terminus.
He summers there. Chiron, where do you go? Open. No, he goes there in the winter, not in the summer. Chiron, yeah. Where do you go from the months of November to January? Oh, I just, you know, go on a cruise. Oh, to Oakland, California, to the Romans. Jeez, shady motherfucker.
So shitty. He literally knows where Percy is the entire fucking 8 months.
Do we think he actually knows that Percy's there? Or is it just like a suspicion?
I mean, he didn't tell Annabeth that exists.
Okay, but did he not tell her because he's a shitty, I don't want to say human because he's not a human, but he's a shitty thing? Or didn't tell her because if she had known, she would have gone there and literally gotten herself killed immediately?
But she didn't. She didn't get herself killed.
No, but that's because they prepared. They, like, made the ship. They practiced. They got Jason. You know, I think Jason was a really important aspect of them not being murdered immediately when they got there.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Chiron usually tells Annabeth everything. And whether he actually does or whether Percy just believes he does, either way, I think that there's a lot of undercurrent of Percy feels like an idiot because nobody tells him anything. Because he also gets made fun of in school before he figures out that he's a demigod by not only the students, but the teachers. He gets told that he's not good enough. He gets told that he's stupid. He gets all these insults to his intellect, and then he's with Annabeth, who has all these secrets from Chiron, and that brings that all up. He's thinking about how Annabeth knows everything and I know nothing. He degrades himself so much.
There's a lot to unpack with Percy. And I think only someone with an advanced degree can do that. Years and hours of therapy are what Percy needs.
Yes, totally agree. I also, while we're talking about Annabeth and Percy, I really want to mention that Annabeth is jealous of Percy. There is so much going on there. Like, immediately right off the bat, I think the first words she ever says to or about him are, is he the one? Like, is he the more powerful one who will finally get me out of this camp? Is he the one who I have to use to fulfill my destiny?
Ooh, that is not a good look, Annabeth. Ugh. Cringe.
Well, luckily she's only 12 years old. And that doesn't last very long. I think it's so interesting that they start off at this place of he's jealous of her for having a home at Camp Half-Blood, and she's jealous of him for being able to get out of Camp Half-Blood. I think that creates such an interesting dynamic between them right off the bat.
Oh, they're so cute. I know this isn't a Percy Best podcast, but God, they're so cute.
I think every Percy Jackson podcast is a Percy Beth podcast.
I agree.
I think we're going to end up making a Percy Beth podcast, because if I'm on it, it's a Percy Beth podcast.
Well, we're going to do a whole episode of just Percy Beth stuff, right?
We have to.
We have to.
I mean, we have to. Can I just go on like a mini rant here?
Yeah.
So as Percy grows older, I think we can look at his personal growth through the lens of jealousy and see that all of these relationships that have been infected with jealousy have all come from a place of insecurity on Percy's part. They have all been, you know, with Tyson, he felt insecure about his family situation. With Talia, he felt insecure about his place as child of the prophecy. And he felt like he had no power. He felt like he didn't want to step into that role. With Annabeth, he felt like he didn't have a home at Camp Half-Blood, and she did. So all of them come from a place of feeling insecure and lonely. And then we have Jason, who, I mean, throughout the Heroes of Olympus books, we see Percy and Jason butting heads the entire time. And I think it's so cool because that jealousy and that conflict comes from a place of security and confidence. Percy's jealousy and conflict with Jason comes from his confidence that he is the child of the prophecy. He is the leader of Camp Half-Blood. He is the powerful demigod. And then Jason comes in and challenges that. And Percy pushes back on it. This time he knows that he is the powerful one. He feels confident in his abilities. He feels confident in his relationships and love with other people. And then Jason comes in and tries to mess that up. And that's where the conflict comes in. So I think that shows such cool character growth with Percy that at the beginning, it was because he felt insecure. And towards the end, it's because he knew his place and he knew his worth. And it was just somebody challenging that that brought up all those feelings.
You guys can't see it right now, but Molly is shaking. she's got her hands balled into fists and she's just like shaking.
I'm so happy for him. He grows so much. He finds his place in the world and he becomes confident in it. He has so much choice in his life. He takes on this next prophecy with so much confidence and so much determination that we don't see at all in the beginning of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, that grows on him throughout Percy Jackson and the Olympians. And then he's there. He has it in Heroes of Olympus. His confidence not only makes me happy because I'm happy for him, but it's also hot.
We gotta swing it back around.
Swing it back around. Always. I cannot talk about Percy Jackson without mentioning he's hot.
He is. And I think part of where his confidence comes from is that, like, he did become hot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was, like, kind of ugly, dorky looking at the beginning of the Percy Jackson series. And then he, like, took a dip in the River Styx. He's hot stuff. He defeated a freaking Titan, the King of Titans. He got the girl. He is super cool.
I'm fanning myself right now. Ugh.
He's Sorry, captain of the swim team. And then captain of the freaking baseball team comes up and is like, I don't know, Jason plays baseball in my head.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a fan fiction.
No. Jason's like,
he's captain.
Jason's like all American boy. He's blonde. He's tall. He plays baseball because baseball is the most sky-based sport that I can think of. No?
I thought you were going to say he plays baseball because he's basic.
Oh, I mean, there's that too. He's a
basic white boy.
I mean, he...
Okay.
In my head, Percy's on the swim team, Jason's on the baseball team. They're both hot shit, but, you know.
In different ways.
Also, I always picture Jason as, like shorter than Percy. I don't know why, because I always just picture him as the same height as Piper. And I really have no reason to, but I just do. But it is stated in the books that he is like an inch taller than Percy.
No!
And so I think that also like comes from it. Like, Jason's hot shit. Percy thinks he's hot shit. He is hot shit, but he also thinks he's hot shit. And he thinks Jason's hot shit. And so just two beautiful men clashing is where it comes from, I think.
Also, I want to mention that at one point, oh god, this scene in Mark of Athena where they're all sitting at the table and there's a chair at the head of the table and Percy and Jason both go for it. They both think that they're the leader, and it literally says sparks fly, like actual sparks fly, because there's so much tension there. Romantic tension.
Oh my goodness.
Mayhaps. But then, okay, so there's literal sparks flying because they're both going for the seat at the head of the table. And then they give in and just give it to Annabeth. And I think that's so telling. Annabeth is the real HBIC. So unless you have any more thoughts on Jason,
can we
move on to Annabeth?
I really don't think about Jason that often. So yeah, we can move on.
You're so right.
I promise this isn't a Jason hate podcast. I promise.
Well, speak for yourself, Maddie.
Oh, okay.
You're only 50% of this podcast.
I'm 63%, which is how immune I am to COVID. What?
Maddie's bragging that she's a nurse.
It's my only flex.
You're right. You're 63%. You are more powerful than me.
I know. It's true.
So I'm kind of dreading talking about this next thing Because I feel like it's just been beaten to death. I feel like in the book specifically. I just feel like everybody talks so much about Annabeth and Rachel and Percy and that love triangle. And I'm just like, I don't know how much energy I can devote to it.
We'll make it brief.
Well, or we could put a different spin on it.
Oh, I like the way you think.
We could switch things up a little bit and talk about, what if this love triangle actually was a triangle? Usually, it's more like a love angle, where it's two people vying for the same person. What if Annabeth, Rachel, Percy was an actual triangle, where all three are attracted to and want to be with each other?
I'm sorry, I reject this.
Listen to my evidence, please.
Oh my goodness.
So Annabeth shows this hostility towards Rachel. She is so bitchy to Rachel. There's that one line where Rachel's like, I had to play dumb. And Annabeth is like, was it hard?
I love Annabeth. I mean, that's
so bitchy. But what it made me think of, what it made me think of was...
Okay, just compose yourself before you start.
What it made me think of was this tweet that says, when I was 7, I had a crush on a girl in my class and didn't know how to deal with it, so I wrote her a letter that just said, get out of my school.
Yes, I have seen this tweet. It's one of my favorite tweets.
I think Annabeth being bitchy to Rachel is so writing her a note that just says, get out of my school. She's like, I have very strong feelings about Rachel and I don't know how to process them. Like in the movie where Annabeth has that line to Percy, she's like, I have really strong feelings about you. I just don't know if they're good or bad. Like, that's literally a really good analysis of her relationship with Rachel, because she has very strong feelings. She looks at Rachel and instantly gets like really emotional and feels really intense. But as a young queer woman, I can relate to that. There are some people who I was just like, oh God, I fucking hate her. Oh, I cannot stand her. And then in retrospect, it was that I just had like confusing feelings that I didn't know what to do with. So I just like hated her. And that feels very much like Annabeth and Rachel to me. I think she just wrote Rachel a note that said, get out of my school, because she didn't know how to deal with it.
So you didn't like people that you had a crush on? That's how that worked?
Being gay is very complicated, Maddie.
Okay. I mean, no, I'm understanding the point that you're making. I'm just like, it's so different from my experience that I'm trying to like really understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So because of heteronormativity, it takes a long time, or at least in my generation. I hope that it's different now. I hope that for people younger than me, they get to figure themselves out much sooner than I did. Because I didn't realize I was gay until I was 17. But I had crushes on girls that whole time. I just didn't realize that they were crushes. I just didn't realize that the feelings that I was having about them were romantic. So that can present itself in a lot of ways. There were some people that I would just be like, she's so cool. I just really like her. I really admire her. Like with my camp counselors, I would be like, oh my God, she is just so cool. I want to be just like her. But actually, it was just because I had a crush on her. So it could present itself as that, or it could present itself as just like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what these feelings are. I feel things, but I don't recognize what they are. So you just kind of try to figure out what they are, and you just channel them into, I hate that person, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah. So I think it has a lot to do with heteronormativity and not realizing what your feelings are. You don't recognize them as a crush. You just know that you have them and you don't understand them.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I mean, I wish I had something to add to this about Rachel and Annabeth, but I mean, obviously I do not have the same experience as you, and how I read it, and I read these originally when I was the same age as them. So I, of course, was going through the same things as them. I mean, obviously, I wasn't fighting to save the world, but sometimes it freaking felt like it. Sometimes it felt like it's the world against me, and I was just lost and didn't know what to do. So I obviously have this like interpretation of their relationship as Annabeth just doesn't like Rachel because, one, Rachel can do things that Annabeth can't do. Annabeth agonized for weeks about how to get through the freaking labyrinth, and she couldn't. And then freaking Rachel waltzes in with her beautiful red curly hair and just walks him through the freaking labyrinth the entire time. And, Percy memorized her phone number, and Annabeth was supposed to go on a date with Percy, and Rachel shows up. Rachel's always there. Rachel this, Rachel that. Why does Percy like Rachel so much? She's not even that cool or pretty. This is Annabeth, not me. I think Rachel is super cool and pretty. But so that's just how I interpreted it. Obviously, everyone has their own lived experiences, and your take is valid. I just don't have anything to input with that.
I think our takes can coexist because I do agree with you. There's a lot of jealousy there because Rachel can do things that Annabeth can't. And Annabeth has this sort of hero complex where she needs to be the only one who gets it, and she needs to do it the right way. She has such a mindset of you have to do it the right way. Like we see with the Sphinx.
Oh, God.
When the Sphinx asks her all these questions that are just trivia questions, she has it in her mind that you have to complete quests the right way. And so when Rachel comes in and she just sees the way through the labyrinth, Annabeth is like, nope, but that's not how it's done. And so that pisses her off. So I totally agree with you. But I also think that the idea that, talking about how Rachel can do things that Annabeth can't, even between Annabeth and Percy, you're going to hate me for saying this. Annabeth has a competency kink.
What?
A competency kink. When Percy does something really well, when he's really good at something, she, like, how do I say this? She is like really into that. So, like, that scene where she throws the dagger in the ocean and he comes up and saves her? Like, not only is that special to her because he is there for her, and that's very important, but also because, holy shit, like, he is very powerful. He is very good at what he does. He takes care of those Romans effectively. Hot.
Oh, you dropped this. Fuck you, Percy.
But that's one of the most romantic moments. And I think it's not just because Annabeth is like, oh my God, that was so cute. Like, oh my God, you saved us. I think it's also because he was very good at what he does. He was very powerful. He was really skilled. And she has a competency kink.
Well, I think
So
we know
she.
that he's very good at what he does.
That's for another episode. Megan has a lot to say about
Tune
it.
in next time.
But I think that part of the reason she was so enamored with him in that moment is because he was like competent. And so that complicates even further her feelings for Rachel, because that you're right, you're totally right. There is a lot of jealousy and a lot of emotion because of all the things that you mentioned. But there's also like, oh, she's really smart. Oh, she has this special skill that she can do really well. I have a lot of complicated feelings on that. And she doesn't necessarily understand what those feelings are, so I think she takes them out on her in anger.
I agree.
I don't know if you're fully on this boat, but it's sailing away anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
That's my
I'm
interpretation of it.
waving at it from the pier.
I want to talk about Taylor Swift for a second. Was that a sad sigh
No,
and an excited sigh?
that was me getting my emotions in check because I need to do that before I talk about Taylor Swift.
When we're talking about jealousy with Annabeth and Rachel and Calypso, by the way, I think it's like that this tweet that I saw about Taylor Swift, which unfortunately has since been deleted. But there was this tweet that was like, Taylor Swift has an everybody wants to fuck my boyfriend complex. And it's not because she thinks her boyfriend is particularly beautiful, even though he is. He is gorgeous, but that's not necessarily the most important thing here, because in this tweet, it says her everybody wants to fuck my boyfriend complex is not because he's particularly beautiful, but because she feels so insecure in her happiness. She feels like at any second her happiness could be stolen away from her. She feels like she doesn't deserve it. It's almost like imposter syndrome, where she feels like she's undeserving of this love and happiness and family. So at any second, someone who is more deserving of it could come and take it away from her, which I think applies very strongly to Annabeth.
I agree.
Maddie's having a moment.
Oh my gosh. I just love everything that you're saying right now, because it's so true. Women in our society, it is so easy for their relationships to be ruined by something, because we're always told that there's always someone better than us. There's always someone prettier. There's always someone funnier. There's always someone more deserving. And once you get that thing that like makes you happy, that you enjoy, you always feel guilty that you enjoy it, because you don't think that you deserve it. And that is exactly what's going on with Percy and Annabeth. Like, Annabeth is head over heels for this guy. He came into her life. She has this like weird thing where she doesn't think she deserves him, or maybe she thinks that he's gonna be like evil, because the last guy that she had feelings for is freaking evil now. It's so right. True. It's, oh my gosh, it is all,
she doesn't,
so true.
She doesn't feel like her happiness is here to stay. She doesn't feel like it's stable. She doesn't feel like it will last, which sucks, because her whole thing is that she wants something permanent. And she has such fear of that being taken from her. So speaking of Taylor Swift, which I always am, I just want to point out that our podcast is called Fatal Flaw because of Percy Jackson. But also, like, we had a few ideas. And the reason I got behind Fatal Flaw was because it's a Taylor Swift reference, too. There's that line in Ivy where she says, I wish to know the fatal flaw that makes you long to be magnificently grand.
Magnificently cursed.
Which
even
cursed.
Connects it to Percy Jackson even freaking more. Oh my God.
Has she read the books?
I feel like she has to have. Can she be a guest?
Can we get her on? I mean, she's only a couple years old, or probably not a couple. She's like my sister's age.
Taylor, if you're listening to this right now, we love you. Please come on our podcast. I would literally die. I would die. I would pass away. You would have to make you would have to make a shroud for me.
I would try to make it better than the fucking Ares cabin one that they made in.
Who allowed that? Who allowed that?
Chiron for jail. 2021. Chiron for jail.
Straight to jail.
But no, so that's Fatal Flaw shows up in a Taylor Swift song, which is why I got behind the idea of naming our podcast Fatal Flaw.
Anyway,
this is actually a Taylor Swift podcast.
Please.
So yeah, I think that like that I think is so revealing about Annabeth's character, that she feels jealous and territorial, not only because of the love triangle, but because Percy is her family, Percy is her happiness, and she feels like anybody could take that away from her. Ugh,
okay,
God.
Let's move on.
We have to move on. Annabeth's jealousy of Luke. I think there's so many feelings, so many complicated feelings with Annabeth and Luke that we can just deal with that another day. I do want to say, I think Annabeth's jealousy of Luke, I do want to read this quote, actually. Let's get into it. I think this also relates to jealousy of Percy, too, because Annabeth does have a sort of helplessness feeling. She feels helpless a lot of the time, which leads to my favorite scene in Battle of the Labyrinth, where she's in the Athena cabin, and she feels like she can't figure anything out, so she puts out her arms for Percy because she needs a hug. And wordlessly, Percy comes over and hugs her. But I think, so anyway, that, like, I think that does, it shows that she has such fear of helplessness. And it makes her angry sometimes. She agrees with Luke. There's this line from The Sea of Monsters that I want to read for you. She says, "Don't you ever feel like, what if the world really is messed up? What if we could do it all over again from scratch? No more war, nobody homeless, no more summer reading homework." And Percy says, "I'm listening." And Annabeth says, "If I could tear this all down, I would do it better."
Okay. I think saying Annabeth agrees with Luke because she says that is like me agreeing with a Trump supporter because, because Parasite I also on. Agree that the people in Washington are corrupt. Like that's like basically a comparison. You know, like I literally am never going to be on a Trump supporter's side. Sorry for making this podcast political, but it always was and always will be. But her saying that she agrees with Luke because of that is like, it's the same exact thing. Because just because you also think that the world is messed up, he is doing it in such a way that is so drastically different from anything that Annabeth would ever agree with. Because I also agree that the world is so messed up. And if I could recreate it, like, I would do it better as well. I think you would too. But that's not agreeing with Luke, because Luke is siding with Kronos, and literally all of his motivation comes from destroying the gods. It doesn't come from wanting to do it better, because he knows Kronos is not going to do it better. Kronos is never going to do it better. Kronos is evil. Kronos is literally just going to destroy the world. It doesn't matter. So no.
I don't agree with you, but I understand it. And I still think that Annabeth and Luke agree on most counts. And she just doesn't like how he does things.
We will disagree forever. We will never come to an understanding.
Okay. We don't really have to get into it, because we can talk about Annabeth and Luke for hours. But
I couldn't, because I fucking hate Luke and he will never be on my radar.
Okay, we don't have to talk about it. But I do think that there is something interesting to talk about there. Maybe we can focus on Percy.
Fuck Percy too. Is...
yeah, fuck Percy. God, I wish. Dang. That was me winking.
She can't wink. It's just terrible. If you guys had seen that, it was absolutely...
That was great. That was a great wink.
Oh my gosh. It's getting worse.
Maddie is just conflicted about her feelings for me. No, I'm gonna cut that out.
Wait, did you leave in that part in the last episode where I said
I did. I left it in. You explicitly told me to cut it, but then I cut the part where you told me to cut it instead.
Curses. No wonder Caitlin had to be here while we recorded. She's like, I don't trust this Maddie girl. She's gonna Rachel Elizabeth Dare all over my relationship.
So I think there is something really interesting there about how Annabeth wants to tear it all down and start over. Like, we see that. We see it in her Siren Bay vision, that she wants to start over. She wants to rebuild. She could do it better. And
bullshit. Percy,
you don't think she could do it better? She's 12. Maybe that's why. But Percy has power in this. He is the child of the prophecy, which she knows way before he does. So he has the power to change things. And Luke has gained power by siding with Kronos, which she's not happy about. She doesn't want that. But if you're someone, a young woman, who feels helpless and like she doesn't have any power to change the things she sees wrong in the world, seeing the men around you have that same exact power that you wish you had will just fuck you up.
I mean, it does that to me every time I see. So I
fuck understand that we are not talking about Percy Jackson podcast.
I'm just saying, like, it's
I'm just very angry.
Me seeing him in power from Missouri. I'm a woman.
I'm bleeping him. Can I bleep that?
Yes.
I'm going to bleep his name. We can talk about him. Okay, we can go ahead and talk about him, but I'm going to bleep his name.
No, I mean, I'm not going to talk. That was literally the only thing I had to say about him. No, I wasn't like getting into a thing. I was just, that was like a topical quip that I had.
Okay.
I did get a t-shirt that says sucks. And I got my brother.
Really?
Yeah. I got my brother one. I got my brother one that says, "Dear America, sorry for sincerely Missouri." So really excited about those.
I want that. Oh my God. Sorry to, I got distracted, but going back to your point, like seeing a man who sucks in power, when you know that if you had that power, you could do better things with it. Ugh, it just hurts.
Yeah. It's literally me every day. I get it. I can relate to Annabeth a lot. Except I don't have a hot boyfriend. It's the only difference. And I'm not blonde.
Are we just going to list the differences between us and Annabeth Chase? Because that could be a whole episode.
I know. I'm so jealous of her.
I'm projecting my own insecurities now. We say that this is about Heroes of Olympus too, but we're just... we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about everything from The Lightning Thief to Blood of Olympus, and then we literally just talk about Battle of the Labyrinth.
I feel like in other topics, there will be more. I feel like most of the jealousy comes from, because, okay, in our defense, and you don't have to keep this in our defense, most of the jealousy in this book series comes from the beginning because we have exclusively Percy's point of view.
True.
And, like, there's little things in the, like, Heroes of Olympus series where they're like, oh, man, like, I'm really jealous of that person. Like, i.e., whenever you have a freaking man's perspective, it's always like, I felt insecure about so-and-so doing this. Because men are babies and they literally are just jealous of everything. But I think most of the deep-cut jealousy comes from Percy's perspective of everyone else.
Totally agree. Yeah. And so when we lose that first person Percy narration, we don't get to see that as much anymore. We do see a little bit with Piper. We don't have to get into that. Maddie, what did you want to say about Aphrodite?
Okay, so Aphrodite, I think, is one of the most interesting goddesses. Beside the fact that she wasn't affected by the freaking Roman-Greek split, which I think is super cool and makes her super powerful. Especially since she's like the oldest goddess, which is like so freaking cool. I love Aphrodite. I'm a little biased, but
yes,
I think we really have to talk about her when it comes to jealousy, because honestly, you can't really have love without that feeling of jealousy, because, and it's unfortunate, but whenever in our society you have feelings of love, like romantic feelings with someone, there always comes that insecurity that you're going to lose them, or something's going to happen, or you're going to mess it up, or they're going to mess it up, or all this stuff. And I mean, we see that all the time. I personally see that all the time with dating. I don't know. Dating's really hard. But she specifically says in, I think, Titan's Curse, she's like, she takes Percy into the car. She's freaking gorgeous. He's intimidated by her. He doesn't really know what's going on. And she's like,
she looks like Annabeth.
She looks a little bit like Annabeth. that's like the first person he sees in her. And then it kind of goes on. But yeah. Very important. We will talk about that in a Percy Beth episode. She brings him into the car and she's like, oh my gosh, you guys are so freaking cute. And he's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't have a crush on this girl, whatever. But she specifically says to him, I am going to make your relationship with Annabeth interesting because I am so invested in it. What the hell does that even mean? I don't know. But like 4 chapters later, maybe less than 4 chapters later, Rachel Elizabeth Dare shows up at the frickin' Hoover Dam.
Oh my god.
And there you have it. Percy and Annabeth's relationship has turned interesting.
Oh my god. Did Aphrodite send Rachel Elizabeth Dare?
We already know she's a super powerful goddess.
Maddie. Oh my god. I'm like shaking right now.
She really is. She's like,
she's the one of the most powerful. She's powerful and old and makes things interesting. And then at right after she says that, Rachel Elizabeth Dare shows up. Ooh. And there's even more there, because if you go with the interpretation that Aphrodite sent Rachel Elizabeth Dare, then you can also draw something from how love led them through the labyrinth. Because if Aphrodite, the goddess of love, sent her there, then Aphrodite is the reason that they got through the labyrinth. There's an Avatar The Last Airbender episode like this, by the way, that love gets them through the darkness.
Okay.
Oh my god. Maddie's like, okay, whatever.
I've never watched it. I'm sorry. Let's talk about Percy.
But that is so interesting. Oh, that's the hottest take. Ooh, I need like 4 days to process this.
And I also think it's interesting that Aphrodite just so happens to show up in South Carolina, where they are. She's just always there. And it's right before Annabeth tosses her knife in the ocean and Percy comes back up.
Oh,
Aphrodite,
man,
just always seems to be there when super interesting and important things happen in their relationship.
And Aphrodite can work through Piper. Once we get Piper in there, you can interpret some things that Piper does as gifts of Aphrodite. Ooh.
Very interesting.
Maddie, I am reeling right now. I need to, like, calm down. My blood pressure is up.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway, so that's my take on Aphrodite. I also think she's super important in Jealousy, just because, like, themes of her come out throughout the whole book series. There's always that, her relationship with Hephaestus and Ares, where she's always cheating on Hephaestus with Ares. We get a son of Hephaestus coming up. He never has a girlfriend until the very end. Spoiler alert. I just finished Blood of Olympus. I'm still not over it.
The spoiler alert was at the very beginning of the episode.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's just a mannerism, Molly. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I just automatically do it. So, yeah, I think it's interesting that the son of Hephaestus goes through the entire book series without having a girlfriend until the very, very end. He has that whole jealousy thing where, and I know this isn't like explicitly stated in the book, but he's the one that makes the table that tells them to put their clothes on and to stay out of each other's room. And so it's basically
the cock blocker. It's not the table. It's Leo who's the cock blocker on Argo too.
It's a coincidence. Because if I was a teenager on the Argo 2, I would have been like, oh, Coach Hedge is gone. We can do whatever the hell we want. But Leo was like, not so fast, children.
If I'm not getting any, you're not getting any.
Exactly.
That also reminds me of, there was this TikTok from, I think her name is Occasionally Wise Girl. She does a lot of Percy Jackson TikToks. And at one point, she makes a TikTok that kind of implied that, you know, when Percy comes back from Ogygia and Annabeth is like really pissed at him, this TikTok implies that she's not just jealous of him, she's slut shaming him.
No!
He's been with Rachel, he's been with Calypso, he's been with Annabeth.
No,
she's slut shaming him.
Oh no.
I don't know,
poor Percy.
I know. Also, so anti-feminist, Annabeth.
Oh, Annabeth.
We are sex positive here, Annabeth Chase.
If you're listening to this.
Listen, Annabeth. Yeah, I think that's such an interesting take on Aphrodite being there. And Aphrodite and Hephaestus relating to Leo. Ah, that's so true.
All right. That's all I've got on the topic.
All right. That's so interesting. So I think that wraps up our discussion of jealousy. Would you like to introduce us to our next segment?
Yes, beautiful, gorgeous listeners. We will be doing something on our episodes going forward where we will do a fun little segment. That's just a fun game for us to play that we enjoy and we hope you enjoy. And this week we are doing a top five list. And since the topic is jealousy, we are going to be doing the top five love triangles throughout the series. We all know everyone loves a good love triangle, especially Rick Riordan, who literally writes so many of them constantly. So we are going to do our top five. So to get us started, how we're going to do this is Molly will read her number five, then I will read my number five, then she will read her four, then I will read my four. And then, you know, if we argue about them, it just might happen. And then we'll reveal our number one at the end.
Maddie, I'm going to say right now that you're not going to like mine.
I'm not going to like any of yours.
You might like a couple, but you're not going to like what I've compiled for you.
Oh, no. I went true to the book. So if they are explicitly stated, but I do have an honorable mention, which I think is really interesting.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start with mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
My number five is Hephaestus, Aphrodite, Ares.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that one. Even though I just mentioned it.
it had to come up organically.
Yeah, no, I like that. So my number five is Jason, Piper, and Raina.
Ooh! Jason didn't even make my list, I'm going to say right now.
Oh no! He's five.
I just didn't think about Jason. That's good. I feel so bad for Raina. I want her to end up with Talia.
But she won't end up with a demigod. When they kept mentioning that, I was like, oh shit, she's going to end up with Orion, isn't she? I like freaked out. I panicked.
I want her to be a Willowa so bad. Willowa, W-L-W. Okay.
I'm not that straight.
I don't know how hip you are to the lingo.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh. I'm fanning myself. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I really love Raina. I can't wait to talk about her more.
I think she's great.
Number four is Annabeth, the Golden Dagger, and the Dracon Bone Sword.
What?
That's my number four love triangle, is Annabeth trying to work out her feelings towards her dagger and her Dracon Bone Sword.
I don't really understand, but I'll just I'll go with it.
Okay. I told you wouldn't like these.
Okay, my number four is Leo, Hazel, and Frank. I put them at the bottom. They're a little bit better than Jason, Piper, and Raina, but they're not very great. So I just put them at the end.
I think you and I have talked about this before. I think Hazel and Leo should have ended up together.
I agree. Anyway, moving on. I 100% agree.
Put a pin in it. We'll circle back around.
We will be talking about it.
My number three is not canon yet. My number three is Sally, Poseidon, and Paul.
That is canon. What do you mean?
I don't think there's any direct conflict because Sally is so past Poseidon by the time she meets Paul.
Yeah, I can understand that, but there's always going to be that tension with your child's father.
That's true. And he also, Poseidon does call Paul Mr. Blowfish.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's one of them that I think, instead of being a love triangle, should just be they're all together.
Oh, okay.
I think they should all just get together. Poseidon, Sally, and Paul are one big happy family.
I don't, because Poseidon's a piece of garbage and doesn't deserve happiness.
Okay. Point, Maddie. put that in the W column.
Finally.
What's your number three?
My number three is Percy, Annabeth, and Luke. It's so good, but so bad.
It's so important to their characters, and I understand, but I didn't even put it on my list because it's gross.
We have very different understandings of this assignment.
We did. Speaking of... my number two... You're going to hate me for this. I did not understand the assignment.
You're the kid that didn't read the book and comes in with their assignment. And it's like, look at what I did. And like just talks over everyone else, even though you had no idea what's going on.
Oh, it's sad because I'm that kid in this context and in an English class. So my number two is Leo, Calypso, and Festus.
Do you even know what a love triangle is?
He loves both of them very much.
Oh my god.
His relationship with Festus is special.
It is special, but oh my god. Not all love has to be romantic love, especially with a metal dragon.
Agree to disagree.
All right. My number two is Percy, Annabeth, and Nico.
I thought you were going to say Rachel. You said Nico. Oh my god. Yes. Agree. Yes.
It was so freaking... So I got this spoiled for me that Nico was gay and that he possibly like had a crush on Percy, but like the whole scene of him like being in that like place and like it's like from Jason's perspective, and Jason's like, dude, like you have a fucking crush on Annabeth, like no one gives a shit. And then Nico's like, oh, I'm in love with Percy Jackson. I was like, and then at the very end, when he like goes up to Percy, he's like, I had a huge crush on you. And Percy and his little himbo self is like, wait, like what? What are you saying? And then Nico's just like, yeah, I did like you, but you're clearly not my type. And Percy's like still processing it. I'm like, oh my gosh. And Annabeth is just like sitting there like, this is cute. Just one of the best scenes, I think.
Also, I just want to say Nico's so full of shit. Of course he still has feelings for Percy. I think he's moved on. But
okay,
you're just not my type. Bitch, Percy is everyone's type.
I think saying, like, Nico still has feelings for Percy is, like, yes, it's very true. But, like, everybody has feelings for Percy. Like, he's freaking hot. Like, so it's just gonna... But he's not, like, it's not, like, bone-crushing, like, oh my god, like, I am so in love with this person. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've all been there, Nico.
It's just, like, objectively, Percy is hot. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, okay.
So he's not full of shit. He's a precious little angel that needs to be protected at all costs, even though he's creepy. Anyway.
Do we have the same number one?
I think we do, probably. Because, I mean,
okay,
it should be everyone's number one.
Yeah. Do you want to say it at the same time? 3, 2, 1, go.
Annabeth, Percy, and Rachel Elizabeth Dale.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. 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 Cool.
That is the number one, of course.
It is. It is. And I think the best love triangles are complete triangles where the bottom two characters have feelings for each other too. And I know that that's not why you put it at the top, but that's why I put it at my top. Speaking of tops, Annabeth is one of my favorite characters.
Do you want to hear my honorable mention?
No, I think we need to sit in this for a little bit more. Yes, I would love to hear your honorable mention.
Okay, my honorable mention for my love triangle list, because if it was a real one, it would be probably number three, honestly, is Zoe, Talia, and societal expectations.
Oh my God. That was a roller coaster that you just put me on.
Molly went through the five stages of grief while I said that. But like your favorite triangles, this one is a triangle because Zoe is in love with societal expectations. Societal expectations are in love with Talia, and Talia is in love with Zoe.
Oh my God. That's the best note to end this episode on.
There you go.
And our outro music will be The Math of Love Triangles from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Roll the tape. No, it's not going to be.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Fatal Flaw. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Fatal Flaw PJO. Music by David Thal from the band Glass Bandit. You can find them on social media at Glass Bandit Music.
All right.
He's also my twin brother.
You can find him next to me in the womb.